Okay, what is up, guys? My name is Jacob Peters. I'm going to be hosting the podcast today. I don't know what the podcast is called yet, but I just want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. It's going to be a beautiful morning, evening, night, wherever you're listening. So we do have an ad. This podcast is sponsored, and it's sponsored by Anchor, but you won't hear about that ad until later because I don't want to bother you guys with a boring ad. But today with me, I got a good friend of mine. We're going to talk some sports. We're going to talk about positivity. Let me introduce you guys to Jake Richardson. Say what's up to the people.
Hello, everybody. Hi, I'm Jake Richardson. How are you doing today, Jacob?
I'm doing great. How about you, man? You doing all right?
Yeah. Today's been a great day so far.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's about 10 o'clock right now. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. So I think the first thing we wanted to talk about was baseball. Of course, before we start digging into everything, we got to tell the people our favorite teams. So as the guest, I'm going to let you go first.
My favorite team is the Milwaukee Brewers. The reason why I became a fan of the Brewers is because I was a big fan of Corey Ray when he played for the Louisville Cardinals. I love it when people steal bases, and at the time when I was watching him at Louisville, he was like one of the top leaders in the nation of stolen bases. So I said, wherever he goes, I'm going to become a fan of him. He got drafted by the Brewers, and then since then, I've been a fan of him, and they just happened to win the division by then, and we have the best player in baseball known as Christian Yelich. So I've been pretty Brewers fan. Hopefully we call up Keston here soon.
For sure, for sure. I will argue with you. Best player is very subjective. I think since the Brewers are your favorite team, you are a little bit biased on that one. Just a little bit.
I don't think so. No, not.
I think just a little bit. I think maybe Altuve's got you beat out on that one.
True. But
Altuve is a monster in and of himself. But okay, my favorite team is the Reds. So I can't talk too much smack because the Reds are just about as bad can get. Even though they're not doing awful this season, they're not the worst in the National League, but they're also not even mid-tier. So I can't say too much. But the reason why I like them so much is because when I was a kid, I remember watching their games on TV, and one of the first things I ever got that I ever won at a carnival was a Reds poster. And so I've been a fan ever since. And I know that's kind of a dumb reason, but I've always loved baseball, and I never really had a team for myself, but when I found one, I found one. And so when I had them, I stuck with them, and I've stuck with them ever since then. And that's been over 15 years.
That's pretty great.
Oh, yeah. But we're going to jump to our first topic today, and that is Madison Bumgarner. Okay, so we're going to open up here is that I want to make sure everyone knows that, you know, as of recording this, they just played the Rockies last night. And they struck, Madison Bumgarner himself struck out 11, which gave him the all-time record for the Giants.
You know, I mean, if you were a scout there, he was putting on a show. He was even doing that well in hitting. I think he had hit up a single and let a runner scored. So
yeah, he had an RBI.
So,
which guys, I want you guys to know, just to preface, this podcast isn't just a sports podcast. This is a whatever aspect of life the guest is involved in podcast. And so, you know, it's going to be very general. It's not going to be, you know, I'm not a dedicated sports person. I'm not a dedicated anything person. You know, kind of got all the fingers in the pies and so do all my guests. So, but
that's what I have that versatility, man.
Gosh. Oh, yeah, definitely. But to get back to the subject, so we kind of wanted to talk about where we thought Bumgarner was going to end up. Because his contract, he is slated to become a free agent after the season's over. But, I don't know, like, seeing what the performance that he put up last night, I would have a hard time believing that the Giants would want to get rid of him so fast. But I would understand the inverse of why they probably would want to get rid of him, because he's been with them for a while, you know?
Mm-hmm. And one thing I saw also last night, he might even get traded and then come back there like Chapman did a couple of years ago when the Yankees traded him to the Cubs.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that, I think it was maybe a couple weeks ago or last week, I don't know, but when the trade talks started coming up, Bumgarner actually put out a no-trade list, like trades that he would veto. And so, for those of you who don't know, in baseball, a player, when you know they're up for a trade, they can create a list of what they call no-trade clause trades. Trades that they can veto themselves, say that I'm not going to that team. And basically that gives them extra leverage for contracts and, you know, ending up where they want to be. And actually, I don't know if you knew this or not, Jake, but his no-trade list actually includes a pretty significant amount of the better teams in the league right now.
No, I did not know that. I think he would want to go to a winning team right now. I know the Giants were in the World Series not that long ago, but I would still think he would want to go out and win again.
Yeah, but I think, you know, he's a guy that he has performed extremely well at the Giants, and you know, he is kind of in a slump right now. He's not performing the best he can be, but he's still one of the best closing pitchers in the league, if not the best closing pitcher in the league right now. And so I feel like this no trade clause is to kind of try to convince the Giants to keep him.
It might be because this has been his home. He has been here for a while. Yeah. And
is this
kind of hard to leave
fifth that. Season, or has it been longer than that?
I'm sorry, what?
Has it been his fifth season, or has it been longer than that?
I almost wanted to say at least six. So yeah, it's probably been five or six, right there, up there.
But so before I wanted to mention that trade list before we got talking into it, because before I looked at this list, a few of these teams were on my potentials that I thought Bumgarner would go to. And some of these might be yours too. One of these you really probably don't want to hear. His no trade list includes the Houston Astros, the Atlanta Braves, Milwaukee Brewers, the St. Louis Cardinals, Chicago Cubs, well, of course, the Philadelphia Phillies, mm-hmm. you know, Boston Red Sox, and the New York Yankees. Which, you know, are all pretty significant teams to block out.
Especially with my Brewers. We're right here in the top of the playoff contention right now, chasing for the division with the Cubs. And that kind of bumps us out because we definitely need pitching help.
Yeah. And you're chasing division, but in the National League as a whole, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
That's for a further conversation. But I mean, there's a high chance that since he has blocked out all these teams that are willing to give up these good players, that there could be a block in here, right? They could say that, you know, he stays with the Giants. But, I mean, I want to get your take on it because I have something that I want to bring up, but I'm going to let you talk first.
Well, I had no idea about the no trade list, so I was, wanted to say the Braves because I know the Braves are right now, they got very good young core, so that would be a great way to trade. But now since that's, you know, trade clause on them, that's kind of thrown out the window.
But he can still go there. It just gives him more bargaining power there. So it's kind of one of those things of he can veto it if he wants to type deal. And if he put it on the list, he probably wants to, but there's always a chance that he did that just to influence the trade, you know what I mean, to get more money out of his contract, to maybe help the Giants out more. So that's kind of a parting gift to them, giving them a better send off, as well as that also incentivizes the Giants to give him a better payout, you know what I mean? Because you know, whenever a player exits a team, he always gets that certain amount of money.
Absolutely. And
that exit contract. So you know, it's a very smart move by him to put all these good teams, especially the teams that are pretty much sitting at the top of the American and National League, respectively. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially throwing out the Yankees right there.
Yeah. Which, I mean, everyone's thinking that on on the list as a whole, the no trade list, the Braves are what people think is going to be the option, because, you know, Bumgarner is from North Carolina, and where he lives in North Carolina is not that far of a drive from Atlanta, so it's not too far of a stretch that, you know, him being a person who has admitted to loving his family and, you know, enjoying spending time with them, it would make sense that he would want to settle a little closer to home.
And that was also one of my biggest reasons to trade, besides just having a good young core they could trade for good assets.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's not that far. They really got some good players in the minors right now.
Yeah, and, you know, you can always get called up to the show. Like, it's always a possibility. You know, we've seen that with Tim Tebow. Started out in single A, and he's making his way to, I think they're trying to get him to triple A next year.
That would be shocking and everything. I know they probably don't have the best farming system, but still.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Mets have a decent program going there in their minor league teams.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Bumgarner, you know, I kind of want him to stay at the Giants. You know, he's been such a cornerstone in them for such a long time. But there's another player whose trade contract could come up, and that's Matt Scherzer from the Capitals.
Yeah, he's a big-time upcoming free agent.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of talk, which is I believe in it. This is what I would think happen, is that they trade Madison to the Capitals, and then they trade Matt to the Giants. You know, basically switch closing pitchers.
I feel like a couple of little minor league players could also still be thrown in there too.
Yeah, and Scherzer is a younger. I mean, basically, I've always seen him as kind of a few years younger version of Madison. So, you know, they're wanting to bring in that youth, like they said previously, but they're bringing in a pitcher of equal skill.
Absolutely. It's good to get younger, but it's also like if you are trained for Bumgarner, sometimes good to get that veteran leadership, because you're always going to need that in the dugout.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the Braves is that, you know, there are two really good pitchers in the Braves, two young guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, having those guys get educated by Bumgarner, the best closing pitcher in the league, then, you know.
Yeah, get somebody that's been there a couple times there in the playoffs to show them, like, hey, this is how the best time is to win everything. Even though the Braves were just in the playoffs last year, it's still, like, it's good to have another leadership there to show them, like, hey, this is another way how it can be done and everything.
100%, you know. I'm going to bring up this movie, but there's always truth to baseball movies, especially, like, when it comes to the game itself, like Bull Durham. The whole point of the movie Bull Durham was that, you know, the main character is basically there to make sure that a rowdy young kid makes a name for himself.
That's a true movie right there. It basically just shows like how baseball was done like that. And that's with all sports too. Like, you're going to need a veteran always to show the young ones how it's done.
But in baseball, you know, you get guys that have been in the league for longer than most of the guys in the NBA or National Hockey or NFL or anywhere. You know, baseball is a sport that typically it keeps its players for a longer amount of time.
Oh, yeah. There's players that play up to 15 seasons, and that's considered a regular career and everything. It's still an outstanding amount of time, but that's still considered a regular time career, and that's perfect. Somebody come in that's only had like 2 years of being a pro, or just right there, a rookie.
Yeah.
That they're trying to take underneath their wing.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's kind of what I love about the game is that there's always this sense of educating and bringing up the next generation of Bumgarners and Scherzers and Kershaws, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's because it would get boring. You need a new generation. You can't just keep on relying on the past.
And you need one that shares the same love for the sport as the previous one.
Yes, that's the biggest thing right there. You can't... I kind of like... You know, like, relate it, like, back there in the high school and everything. When I was a senior, I was important to find a freshman that was still... And who's like, yes, I want to play and everything. I want to get up to the play. I want to play. Instead of just somebody that wants to sit in the dugout to keep on playing and everything. You got to find somebody that's... shares the same view as them as you do as the game.
Yeah. And if you're not going to play, you're not going to make it to the majors. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But back to the subject. So my pick for on the non, or the like, no blocked off teams, like teams that aren't blocked off by the trade list, is the Capitals because of Scherzer. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I'm still thinking on this one. It might be a little bit. Did you say the Cubs? They were already.
Cubs are on the no trade list.
Oh, okay. And the St. Louis Cardinals, too, they're also out there.
Yep. And the Yankees and the Red Sox are what I like to say the two most overrated and worst teams in the league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know the Yankees got this streak going on, but I seriously think they could go cold any second. I know it's a little bit of a hot take, but... Yeah.
Well, I mean, anyone that knows me knows that there's no love lost between me and the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, I mean, so do you think he's going to stay in the National League, or do you think he's going to go American? What do you think?
I definitely think he'll probably stay in the National League, even though, like, even let's say he does, like, resign with that team, whatever the Giants trade him with and everything, I don't think they probably want to keep him there in the National League. Let's say the Giants do on the come up, but that's a risk you're kind of going to have to willing to take right there.
Yeah. I know one American League team that everyone was saying was the Padres. But I don't really agree with that because it doesn't make much sense because, you know, he's been a National League player his whole career. And so to switch leagues so late would be kind of a...
That's kind of like a rough transition.
Yeah. So if we're talking in the National League, where do you think he's going? Other than the ones that have been barred.
Well, you also said... Possibly the Pirates still, too.
Yeah. End up at the Pirates.
I mean, they were pretty aggressive last year. Maybe they could be aggressive. They were pretty aggressive last year getting Archer, so...
Yeah.
Then maybe this year they're once again aggressive.
Yeah, but they've got to do something with it. That's the thing. They haven't been doing anything with it.
Yeah.
And so, I'm going to reinforce my point. You don't have to believe this, but... Capital. If he is traded, I think the Capitals. I think that's where he's going to go.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you overall on that, but if you're going to have to make me decide another team besides the Capitals, I'm going to go with the Pirates.
Yeah, Pirates. I don't agree with that, but I can see it. All right, the next thing we want to talk about is the Dodgers. Are they guaranteed to make it into the playoffs at this point? Now, you were pretty passionate about this in our messages before, so I'm going to let you take the lead on this one.
Basically, I'm right now looking at the Dodgers and their division, and they just seem so head class above everybody else. They're already hands down with top teams in baseball. They've been to the World Series, correct me if I'm wrong, 3 times in a row now?
Yep.
So... Once again, they're getting even more motivated. I know they lost Machado and Plague, but they still seem like they're not skipping a beat. They're still dominating every team. So I think it's pretty much just hands down with Walker. They're going to make the playoffs. It's just... No. Barton, they have the worst luck of injuries ever the second half of the season. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody can come up. But it just seems like a pretty much a walk for make the playoffs. I'm not going to right away say the World Series, but it seems like a very good, decent chance they could already make the World Series.
I think league-wise, they will definitely make it to the finals of the league. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But if there's anything we've learned from baseball, is that there's no guarantees. You know, there's no concrete they're going to make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even with the teams that you think are, that's not always the truth. That's not always the case. Because, I mean, a few years ago when Houston, the Astros won, no one thought that was going to happen.
Oh, no, I certainly did. I can admit on that one.
Yeah. But, you know, it did. And that's kind of the wonder of baseball, is that anything can happen any day. The best team in the league can fall to the worst. But I will say, the Dodgers as a whole, you know, coming up behind them in the league is, you know, the Yankees and the Twins. They're tied for best in the American League. And then the Astros are only one game behind. And so in the American League, there is this three-way race going on to get to the end. Which I think, if anything, I think the Twins would probably take that, even though I love the Astros. But, I mean, feasibly, the Astros are a great team. Jose Altuve is one of the best players of all time, I think. I love the guy. But I just don't think the Astros will be able to outperform the Yankees and the Twins.
The biggest thing that scares me with the Yankees is that they can stay healthy. I know that's kind of basic to say, but it feels like every week there's going to be somebody that's going to be put on their injury list.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, there's always going – they are some of the most injury-prone team I've ever seen, especially this season. That's like – this season has just been awful for them, which, you know, I'm not going to complain about. No love lost for the Yankees here. But I think the Twins, really, honestly, the Twins are my pick here. What about you?
I'm actually agreeing with you, the Twins, too. Because, like I said, yeah. I'm not really 100% so the Astros can make it. And the Yankees, I just don't trust them to stay healthy. And then that leads it right down to the Twins.
Yeah. And, I mean, and on the opposite side, going back to the Dodgers, you know, their only other competition here is a team that is three wins behind them. And that is the Braves.
And that's kind of where we just brought up Madison Bumgarner. Yeah. I think he got a...
And so if he gets traded in, you know, that could be something, that could be a real big change for them.
Yeah, but that's where you can probably possibly say they do take the leap, but if they do, let's say the Braves do get Bumgarner, who would you take? Just wondering. Would you take the Braves or would you take the Dodgers?
Honestly, the Dodgers are not known for having this season, by what I've seen, this is just my appraisal. They're not good with closing games out. They blow their opponent out in the beginning, and that's how they get their wins, from what I've seen this season. They're not a very strong back half performing team. And so if you get a pitcher that can close them out like that, that can totally shut them down like Bumgarner can, then it's not going to be a contest. It's just a race for that first half. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which then, you know, if you do well in the first, you can make it up in the second half of innings.
And that's a key thing right there in the playoffs. You got to be able to shut that person out first. You can't just rely on luck to be like, oh, we're already dominating them and everything. You have to play consistently throughout the whole entire game, because these are the best teams in baseball. They're here in the playoffs for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, there's no playing around. It's not like, you know, the NFL where one team can win one game, one bad team can win one game and then end up in the Super Bowl and then just get absolutely slapped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like baseball, you play the series. You play multiple games to decide this. You know, it's not just a willy-nilly pick and choose who goes. They fight for the spots.
And that's one of the best things about baseball. It's literally the the best team will win.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think we can both agree that prediction-wise, the American League, we're probably going to see the Twins in the World Series.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And then on the National League, if Bumgarner goes to the Braves, there will be contention between the Dodgers and the Braves for that top spot.
Absolutely. That would be a great series right there if the Braves do get Bumgarner.
For sure.
But once again, like I said, if he is on the no trade clause, they got to trade up pretty big for him to get him.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so moving on from that, we're moving out of the Major League and we're moving into the College World Series, which is going to be happening tonight. If you guys are listening to this later, you know, the results will have already happened. This competition doesn't really matter to you all. But in the current moment, it's one of our top subjects that we're going to talk about. And so, you know, for those of you who don't know, Vanderbilt and Michigan are playing the last game of the World Series tonight. This is the winner takes all, which, you know, a lot of people didn't think was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, sir. I remember them saying Michigan had 2,000-1 odds to win the whole entire thing in the beginning of the World Series. And here they are right there in the championship.
Yeah. So, well, if you look at it stat-wise, Michigan is the underdog.
Oh, yeah.
The overall batting average is over 100 points under what Vanderbilt is. And Vanderbilt has 8 more wins underneath their belt for the record.
One thing that I think that's a little bit underrated is the Big Ten versus SEC story in this. Besides Michigan, the Big Ten has been awful in baseball this year. I don't know if you really watch college baseball that much in depth, but like the SEC baseball, like they literally had 4 teams right there in the top 8 for the World Series.
Which, you know, typically SEC is not known for its baseball.
No, it's known for football. And then every now and then you get a little bit of basketball in the years that Florida and Mississippi State and Auburn, LSU all said this would be good besides Kentucky.
Yeah. But, you know, Kentucky is almost always a given every year.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the SEC, it's not really known as a baseball, which, I mean, you know, we're never awful in baseball. SEC is never bad.
No.
But we're never amazing. Until this year, and it just seems this year the SEC just blew up. And so it's the whole, you know, usually, you know, the big rivalry is SEC versus ACC.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we're seeing the Big Ten, which is, like you said, they did not perform this year, which is unusual. You know, usually the Big Ten teams are some of the teams that are doing the best. That and the Pac-12 and, you know, out there.
So it's kind of weird to see kind of like the opposite happened. All of a sudden the Big Ten's not that good, but the SEC is really good, but yet they're still going to be facing off.
Yeah. So in the last game of the series.
Yeah, it's really weird to see that.
Yeah, which Michigan being the underdog in the situation. But I think, honestly, I want Vanderbilt to win. Because, you know, it's Vanderbilt, it's SEC, even though I'm a UK fan, I'm not supposed to like Vanderbilt. But when it comes down to championships, I always support SEC. You know, but I really want to see this Michigan team win at the same time because it's a team that's fought hard and done everything that they've known to do and just played good ball.
So you're going with Michigan or you're going with Vanderbilt? I'm confused.
I don't know what to say. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know how to call it. So I'm just I'm on the fence. I'm just going to watch the game tonight and I'm going to cheer whichever team wins kind of deal.
Well, I'm straight up Michigan on this one because I'm a Louisville fan. So I'm still a little bit upset what Vanderbilt did to us. So just last round.
Yeah, that was not pretty. Uh-huh. That was not pretty.
So I'm straight up Michigan on this one. And not only that, I'm not one of those people that likes, I know Vanderbilt didn't just win it like probably like just last year, that was Oregon State, but Vanderbilt has been in the World Series, this is now their third time this decade, their name. They've been there here a couple times. I want that new champion their name. Michigan hasn't won the World Series back in the 1960s. So I want like a new champion again. So,
which, you know, that's kind of the allure of the teams that aren't underdogs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole allure of them, is that, you know, teams that haven't performed like this. You know, like UK football.
Oh yeah, they were a big time underdog.
They ended up being like the third best team in the SEC by the end of the season, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
You know,
I will say they were better than Florida. That was nonsense. That Florida
and
we
fought against LSU too. The only two teams that we really had were like totally beat us out of the water were, you know, Georgia and Alabama, which those are givens. Those are the two best teams in the country.
Right. Especially because Georgia, that they're getting all these five stars and everything. Kentucky, I'm starting to believe in Mark Stoops, but he's still getting all these three stars or five stars. It's kind of hard to compete.
You're going NCAA 14?
Yeah.
Stats there. I get that. Okay, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to the College World Series, you know, I always like watching it, even though I'm not much of a college baseball. Well, it's not that I'm not a fan. I love the game of baseball. It's my favorite sport. But at the end of the day, baseball is one of the only sports where I will willingly watch the professional over the college. But I always like watching the college, especially nowadays, because all this talent is coming out of it and making the league better.
I remember watching the MLB draft. Yes, I actually do watch that. They were starting to say, like, how the trend's starting to become that to a drafted player from college now, because that means they're more developed rather than high school, because you don't know what you're going to really get.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. You know, there were a significant amount of people drafted from college into the league, but it wasn't the major league, it was minor leagues.
Yeah.
And major league was almost specifically reserved for the young 18-year-olds coming in with boatloads of raw talent and no experience. But we've seen that shift now, and that's kind of why I'm excited about this World Series game tonight, is because regardless of what happens, you know that there's going to be guys on both teams that are going to be seeing the show. They're going to get tickets to the show.
Yeah, they're going to be here soon in professionals. I know he just pitched yesterday, but that Vandermelt freshman kid, the one that had the no-hitter, he's going to be definitely here in the professionals here soon. And going to be one of the he's probably going to be one of the best in the majors. Like, he's so good. Like, it's impossible to deny it.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's why I'm excited. That's why I kind of wanted to spend the first, you know, significant portion of this podcast talking about baseball, because, you know, it's such an exciting time to be a baseball fan. But transitioning from that, we're going to move away from baseball, which kind of hurts me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. It kind of hurts me because I don't get to talk about baseball like this very often. Mm-hmm. But we're going to move into a subject. I always like to kind of close out the podcast with, you know, a subject that can help other people. You know, we spend the first half talking about the things that we're interested in, but we need to talk about the things that are going to help people, you know.
It's always important to help somebody out, pick somebody up.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I don't know how many people are going to hear this. You know, it could be one, it could be 100. You know, it doesn't matter to me, as long as there's someone that gets something out of this at the end of the day. And, you know, I kind of wanted to talk today about positivity because, you know, you guys don't know Jake, but he's a good friend of mine. And he's someone that I've always seen as someone who is always ready to go, always high energy, always ready to give you a hug and tell you that he loves you and just spread positive feelings and love and vibes and, you know, whatever your preferred term is there. And so, you know, I wanted to bring him on to ask him not only to talk about baseball, but to talk about his positivity, where it comes from, you know, all these things that he can share with you all to help you all out.
It's important to be positive, because
100%.
I'm one of those people, I don't like seeing another person down and everything. I know everybody has a bad day, but I want to uplift somebody if I possibly can and everything. Because I know what that feeling is sometimes, like to just be like, hey, I just want somebody to talk to. I just need a hug and everything. So I feel it's very important. And we mentioned it earlier, where you can just reach out to one person and everything. That can mean the world to that person. I remember like one person said, you can't always change the world, but if you can change somebody's world, then you're already changing the world. So that hit me and everything, because I do want to travel the world and everything, but I also want to help people and everything. I don't want somebody just sitting there on the ground crying for help. I'll sit down there and help them out for them.
Mm-hmm. To kind of help encourage this in everyone's daily life, you know, I have a few questions. And, you know, the first one is, like, what is your daily approach to keeping your positivity? Like, are there things that you do when you wake up every morning? You know, are there things that you say or things that you think of?
Well, when I wake up in the morning, I'll right now let you know I'm one of those people that does not like to get out of bed and everything. That's probably the only negative aspect I'll probably bring into this, but other than that, I'll try my best to convince myself, let's make today a great day. I don't care what it is, I'm going to be thankful that I'm right now here alive and everything. I'm going to try to bring a smile to somebody's face. I don't care what it takes, as long as I get a smile out of them, I'll try to do it.
And that's the first thing you do every morning?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of crazy.
I'm like just thankful for God and everything, but
yeah, for sure. You know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, I know my first thought in the morning is, can I get some more sleep? It's not, how can I help someone today, you know? And so that's a very admirable thing. And so I think everyone can benefit from that, because if you get into that mindset every morning when you wake up and say, if I can just reach out to one. You know, if you've ever seen Hacksaw Ridge, just let me get one more.
Yeah. I absolutely love that movie, by the way.
It's an amazing movie. Those of you who haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a great movie. Even if you aren't religious in any way, shape, or form, it's just a good movie with a good message of just not giving up no matter what and fighting for what you know is right.
And my favorite thing overall was that it was based on a true story.
Yep. But we won't spoil
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you can see those movies and you're like, oh, that doesn't have that much real life. Nobody would do that. No, that was right there based off a true story. I'm not going to spoil, but...
Yeah. Which, you guys need to go see it if you haven't. But, so daily approach, you wake up every morning and then you say that, and then as you go out throughout your day, you know, do you just pick a random person, or do you just do it with everyone you meet?
I will pick a random person. Like, I'm one of those people that will just scroll through my contacts every now and then, and I'll text somebody and everything, or I'll scroll through Instagram, and I'll go through my followers / people that I follow, and I'll just randomly message them saying, like, hey, good morning, I hope you have a great day and everything. Like, not that long ago, I sent, like a random boo posts to, like, I don't know if that's the right word, boo posts, but like I sent that to like 50 people and I just kept on sending them, hope you have a great day, hope you have a great day, hope you have a great day. And then if it was like a weird video, I sent them like with a question underneath, like, what's your favorite potato, what do you like on your spud?
So just something funny.
Yeah, so just a way they can be like, they don't get too weird out, like, okay, why is Jake wishing me have a great day? Like, no, I'm going to make you a little bit laugh too.
Yeah. Okay, for sure. I love that. So, where did you learn this kind of stuff? Did you pick up on this behavior on your own? Was it an experience that led you to do this? Did someone do this for you? You know, what was the process here?
It's definitely time. The biggest thing, one, on enjoy every moment in life. That's one of my biggest sayings. Is I'm not really that close with my family. There's a bunch of them I don't know, but I found out, like, I had my dad's sister's husband was that aunt to uncle thing, you know. Anyway, I found out I had him, somebody in my life like that. And he was somebody I just randomly just started talking to. All of a sudden, and not even a week later, without me really getting to know him that much, he all of a sudden passed away.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. And that just kind of like hit. Because, like, he was somebody, like, I think I didn't really get to know, but I already got to see the great impact, like how it was and everything. I heard stories about how everything he did for the community and everything. And then you also, like, my great grandpa, I didn't really get to know him that well. I could talk to some, this is something amazing. Remember, if I talk to somebody that's like 60 or older here in Louisville, they normally know my great grandfather. I just happen to mention his name if I'm in a deep conversation with him. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, yeah, I know Lewis. Yeah. Like, he used to ride me around. He hooked me up because he owned a bike shop. He's like, yeah, he hooked me up on a bike when I was young and everything. And, like, it's just amazing to see, like, even though my great grandpa's been dead for 15 years, people still can talk to me, the great grandson of him, and just they know him and everything. So I see, like, that great impact where people tell stories about, hey, that person was a great person, and everything. And I want to be like that. I don't want to be somebody that just, this is like a little bit deep here, but like, I want to be one of those people when I die, I just pass away. I want somebody to be like, yeah, that was a great person in my life. I'm thankful for that person.
You don't want to be a ripple. You want to be the stone that causes the ripple.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're seeing the ripples of your great-grandfather and of your uncle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think everyone, including anyone that's listening to this, can agree that that is something that, you know, that is admirable. And that we really, like, I especially, being your friend, I really congratulate you on being that person. I don't know much about your family. I don't know anything about your family, really. But I know that those two would be proud of what you've done.
I hope so. Hope so.
And the last question I have before we get ready to close out is, you know, what impact has this had on your life? Like, what can people expect if they follow these thoughts, if they follow, you know, these instructions that we've given them? What impact can they expect?
Like I said earlier, I will not lie. There's going to be a couple of down days, but overall, the impact on my life here is humongous. And I think, like, I cannot stop myself from all of a sudden smiling or laughing at the silliest things. Like, even if it's just simply like me just kicking a rock, for example. If I all of a sudden like kick it, and then it goes down like a little drain hole or like one of those potholes, all of a sudden I'm laughing like, oh my gosh, I just kicked it so hard, like, and I'm like screaming go inside my head like I'm a big time soccer player and everything. Like, it was it's a great way to just like make you smile and everything. It really does make you enjoy the little moments in life.
Yeah, for sure.
It's flat out amazing. Even like when it's raining, you can all of a sudden dance the song I Love a Rainy Night, which is one of my favorite songs. It's just like, it's so amazing. And what, by the way, one of the biggest things is, do listen to happy music and all that. Don't always listen to music that's going to drag you down, everything. Because if you do that, then it's going to be hard to lift yourself up and everything. You don't want to drag yourself down on purpose. Let yourself be lifted and everything. So, yeah, I would say it's humongous to listen to good music, and overall the impact of my life, it's amazing.
For sure. Well, Jake, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Anyone who's listening, I thank you. You're welcome, dude. Anytime. You have to come back another time, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to thank everyone who's listening. I really appreciate it. Like I said, this podcast is sponsored. So, you know, you're going to probably catch an ad at the beginning of this thing and an ad at the end, which, you know, a guy's got to make money, boys got to eat. So, you know, I really, again, I'm going to go ahead and.
It's difficult.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But I wanted to go ahead and thank them again in the actual podcast itself. You know, Anchor, I really appreciate it. You guys have made this platform for us to use. And I really appreciate it. But you guys will get to hear more about it in the ad. But until then, I'll see you guys later. Love you. Peace out. And enjoy the journey.